Well, thank you for inviting me. I was the one that screwed up Herb. I said, since I had to go first last year when I was at a Philadelphia Society meeting, actually in Philadelphia, I got to go last this time. I wish I could take credit for the New Republics being what I refer to as schizophrenic. I'm more a symptom of that than a cause. The cause is really Marty Peretz, the owner of the magazine. Marty Peretz is, and the New Republic are products of the wonderful thing that can happen when you're denied tenure at Harvard. Marty was, bought a magazine and basically in 1974 and has basically taken something of a neoconservative course. I think the New Republic deserves credit for producing probably the most scintillating new conservative columnist in recent years, and that's Charles Krauthammer, who still writes for the magazine some, writes a weekly column, writes essays for Time magazine, is a conservative, and is an important new voice produced entirely by the New Republic. He came to the New Republic from Walter Mondale's staff and left as a supporter of Ronald Reagan. There are really two types of journalism in Washington, and conservatives should recognize that they're winning among one sort of journalism, and that's opinion journalism. Most of the good columnists in America are conservatives. There really aren't any good liberal columnists. There are there's some good ones, but there aren't very many of them. I think Mike Kinsley is very good. Mike Kinsley is gets complaints on the left for not being liberal enough. He's actually the person, when he was editor of the New Republic, who hired me. So conservatives are doing well. Look at the op-ed page of the Washington Post, for those of you all who live in Washington. There are Evans and Novak are there 3 days a week. And there are lots of other conservatives who are there all the time. William Buckley, Charles Krauthammer, and so on. I'm sure you've seen it. It's true in other newspapers around the country. Secondly, television. The television chat shows, I think, have basically a moderate to conservative tilt. Certainly the McLaughlin group does. John McLaughlin is many things, but he's also basically conservative. What contract, he likes to say, recognizing that John is a former Jesuit priest, that he gives every indication of having been a Jesuit, but none of having been a priest. Or Capital Gang on CNN, or Crossfire, which is generally attacked these days for having its person on the left, Mike Kinsley, not be far enough to the left. What was the big issue in Washington last week among journalists? What was the one talked about the most, actually written about probably the most, and that is whether Pat Buchanan is anti-Semitic, and I think the consensus was no. Even though there were some unfavorable pieces written about him, that was certainly the consensus on the McLaughlin group and the Capital Gang, and most of the stories that were written. In an earlier day, Pat might have been run out of town. But not now. Now there is the bad side, and that's the other side of journalism, and that's what most people have to deal with. They're not dealing with columnists, they're dealing with regular reporters. And that is almost entirely liberal. One of the reasons is, and I didn't hear the earlier panel, but it's certainly been my experience and all the young conservatives I've talked to, and I was just reading I was reading this article at the dinner table last night, and my wife made the worst criticism you can make around my house, and that accused me of acting like Jimmy Carter. So you remember the Carters had this family trait of they didn't talk when they all read books and read magazines and read articles. Anyway, I was reading an article from Rolling Stone about conservative college publications. The Vassar Spectator, the Princeton Tory, and the Dartmouth Review. And there was one sentence really caught my eye, and it said, producing all these young conservative journalists who go to work for the White House, think tanks, political campaigns, and the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Well, that's not journalism, except for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, which doesn't need them. They have John Fund, they have Bob Bartley, they have plenty of brilliant conservatives there. They don't need any new ones. Mainstream journalism, reporting, and editing is where conservatives ought to go, and they don't want to go there. I talk to them all the time. And they come in and see me, ask for advice or something. The advice they don't want is the advice I the advice I always give, first, leave Washington, go out and work your way up in some small paper. If you have any talent, it'll show up. It's a very individualistic profession. It's very egalitarian. You can move up very easily if you have any talent at all. Leave Washington and go to work in regular reporting. But they want to stay in Washington. They want to work in opinion journalism, and they wind up being deputy press secretaries on Capitol Hill. That's not journalism. That's a problem. Now, the real problem, though, is what you're left with, and that is a mainstream press, national press in America, that is pretty unrelentingly hostile on a number of issues. Not as many as it used to be, but some. It's clear conservatives are not going to get a hearing. They're not going to get a fair shake. Abortion is the best example right now, where the national press is basically a wholly owned subsidiary of Planned Parenthood. David Shaw of the LA Times wrote a very courageous piece, probably the single best piece and the single most courageous piece of journalism that I've seen in the last year or so, on the press bias against the pro-life movement and the press tilt, the way it covers the abortion issue in favor of the pro-abortion side. A brilliant series, and I've thought and written a lot about that subject before, and there were examples of bias and subtle bias and not so subtle bias that I hadn't thought of. Brilliant series, but you're faced with a situation where on abortion, the press is simply hostile. And very few reporters will even pretend otherwise. Certainly the women don't. And some editors will, but they don't even make much of a case for it. Well, here's what I'm getting around to say. Reporters and conservatives ought to know, this is a lot of them do, ought to know what reporters want. And they really only want two things. It's very simple. They want access and they want information. And this is particular if you are a government official, somebody running a campaign or an elective office or something. They want access and they want information. They don't want an argument. They don't want you to just repeat the line. They've heard that when they're going to come and interview you. They want more than that. And they don't get it from a lot of the conservatives. Conservatives aren't as comfortable as dealing with reporters for the obvious reason that they're conservative and the reporters are liberal. I understand that. But if you don't provide the two things, you're going to suffer for it, and conservatives do. I remember the Reagan White House in particular. Now, it's not only that Jim Baker, Richard Darman, and David Gergen were the best sources for the liberal reporters, they were the best sources for conservative reporters, too. You would go in and talk to Ed Meese, who I will stipulate is a wonderful man, and I think he is a wonderful man. You would go in and talk to him, and you would get no information. You would subtract from the amount of knowledge you had. There were things you knew that he would say weren't true, and you really knew they were, and it, you know, it wasn't lying, but it's, you know, you get into semantic business and so on. There were two reporters who covered the White House for Newsweek during the Reagan years, Tom DeFrank and Eleanor Clift, and they had to agree, seriously, now this is serious, they had to agree not to make eye contact with each other while interviewing Ed Meese because they'd break out laughing because of the things he would say. And that's a horrible situation to be in. But you would go and see and talk to Jim Baker, Richard Darman, Dave Gergen, and you would learn things. You'd get information. The sum total of your knowledge would have been moved, maybe an inch, maybe a foot. But you know more. You have the kind of stuff that you can write the texture for a story. What was going to happen? Some TikTok information on what did happen. Stuff that hadn't been announced. You know, it doesn't do a reporter any good to repeat what's already been publicly announced, or just argue that argument over again. That doesn't help. I argued when I was writing about the White House, particularly for the Baltimore Sun, this with Tony Dolan, who was a speechwriter, great speechwriter, wonderful person, lousy source, and he took the position and said, and it's an honorable position, that we're not going to play that game. Ed Meese doesn't play that game. If Jim Baker and Richard Darman and Dave Gergen want to play that game, fine. Well, I think they made the wrong decision because you have to play that game or you're going to lose. Conservatives inside an administration aren't going to help reporters know about their side, give them information. They shouldn't complain about Jim Baker getting such a good press. What they ought to do is emulate him. I mean, nobody in America got a better press in the 1980s than Jim Baker, and he worked hard at it. He provided a lot of access and a lot of information. When Don Regan took over as White House Chief of Staff back in February of 85, got the logs out from what Jim Baker had been doing for 4 years and was amazed at how much time Baker spent with the press. Well, it paid off. Smart move. Got his message out. And it works for a lot of conservatives. Look at the ones on Capitol Hill, for instance, who are taken seriously. Vin Weber, Phil Graham, they get a perfectly good press. They deal with reporters plenty. They provide both access and information. What I think conservatives need to do, and believe me, liberals do it, and some conservatives do, Jack Kemp has, certainly Vin Weber has, is develop a cadre of reporters who aren't necessarily your ideological allies or your friends, but they are reporters who rely on you for information and access. Be accessible to them. Give them your home number and so on. They rely on you. They're dependent on you for information. And basically, that doesn't happen very often. Now, there is one place where it does happen, and it's the one place where I think you probably get the fairest reporting in America, and that's political campaigns, certainly presidential campaigns. Nobody can say that I don't think you can. Actually, some people in this room might say that the press tilted in favor of Mike Dukakis in 1988. I certainly don't think so. I don't think the press tilted in favor of Jimmy Carter in 1980. Or even actually, the guy running for president in 1980 got the worst press was Teddy Kennedy. Deservedly so. But in any case, campaigns are a situation where reporters are faced with relying on conservatives. If there's a conservative candidate, they have to deal with the campaign manager and the people who work for that campaign. They're forced to rely on them. But once that conservative is elected, it ends. They don't. The access goes, and the amount of information goes. But campaigns, in my view, campaigns at almost every level are covered fairly because the press basically savages both campaigns equally. If you could get that on the national level, in covering government and public affairs, I think conservatives would have no complaint. Thank you.